Shlakya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, chapter 12 is entitled The Killing of the Demon Agasura. Okay. So we'll start reading. Text. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King, one day Krishna decided to take breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn and woke up the coward boys and calves with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping the respective groups of calves before them, proceeded from Brajabhumi to the forest. Commentary. The 12th chapter describes Krishna's playing with his friends and then entering the body of the serpent Agasura. To save his friends, Krishna also entered the demon and killed him by expanding his body. One day, Krishna decided to enjoy a picnic in the forest. Only Krishna's name is mentioned, indicating that Rohini forcefully kept Balaram at home in order to bathe him and perform auspicious rites on his birthday. Text. At that time, hundreds and thousands of coward boys came out of their respective homes in Brajabhumi enjoying Krishna, keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful, and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. So, commentary. Pitu Kaha refers to the coward boys. They were holding sticks, horns, flutes, and lunch bags. Sahasrapati Sankhya means 10,000. Krishna had a Sankhya number of calves. A parada is one followed by 17 zeros. A parada times a parada times a parada times a parada equals one asankhya. One should not argue, however, that such a large number of cows could not possibly fit into the 32 square mile area of Vrindavan, because the Dham is unlimited by the unlimited energy of the Lord. Even a small portion of the holy Dham is sufficient to accommodate billions of universes, each measuring 50 million miles in diameter. Krishna showed this to Brahma in a later chapter. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that there is no question of impediments, obstacles, or limitations because the Lord, his associates, and his holy Dham have inconceivable power, achincha shaktihi. Krishna's coward boyfriends were ornamented by their mothers with necklaces of crystal and gunja seed beads before entering the forest. Once in the forest, they ornamented themselves with forest fruits and flowers. Translation. Along with the coward boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Next text. Although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls, and gold, when they went into the forest, they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. Next text. All the coward boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When the boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boys would throw it further away to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it still farther. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh, the proprietor would cry, and then the bag would be returned. So, commentary. The coward boys used to steal each other's articles. One boy would steal another's food container, take it to a distant place, and hide it under a tree surrounded by thorn bushes and red ants. When the boy whose lunch bag was stolen tried to retrieve it, other boys would throw it further away. When he ran after it, they would throw it still farther, and the boy would cry, and the other boys would laugh and return his lunch bag. Next text. Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Commentary. When Krishna wandered off to see the beauty of a distant forest, the boys would run after him, shouting, I will touch Krishna first. No, I will. No, I will. So, next translation. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees, and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the bird shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently, and others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces, as the monkeys were accustomed to do, and others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflections in the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the coward boys used to play with Krishna, who was the source of the Brahman effulgence for the Gyanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence, who was the supreme personality of Godhead for devotees, the Gyanis, for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who, for ordinary persons, is but an ordinary child. The coward boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the supreme personality of Godhead. How can one explain their good fortune? Commentary. The coward boys blew bugles made of buffalo horns, chased the shadows of the birds, and pulled the tails of baby monkeys. They would climb the trees by grabbing the tails of the monkeys hanging from the branches. After imitating the funny faces of the monkeys, the boys would jump from tree branch to tree branch. They leaped after frogs into pools of water, which were created by the cascading waterfalls. Upon seeing their reflections in the water, they would laugh heartily. Raising their arms, the boys would shout loudly in a playful mood. Then they would curse their echoes, saying, "Ah, who is that speaking?" Hearing a single syllable echo back, the boys would become angry. "What is this?" The echo would reply, "Ray, ray, ray." And the boys would say, "Today you will die." In this way, they would curse again and again and never come to an end. After describing the playing of the coward boys, this verse shows the unique good fortune of the Vrajabhasis as compared with others. There are three types of people in this world: Karmis, Gyanis, and Mokhlas. The word Shatam indicates those Gyanis who possess some trace of devotion. The inhabitants of Braj used to play freely with Krishna, who is the source of the knowledge and happiness the Gyanis seek in Brahman. One can understand from this that Krishna's body, with which the Vrajabhasis played, contains the Brahman. The word Satam transcendentalist cannot apply to those Gyanis who think that Krishna's body is material. The phrase Dashagatana refers to all genuine devotees besides the Vrajabhasis who see Krishna as their worshipable Lord. The Vrajabhasis were so fortunate they directly played with Krishna, who is seen by these other devotees as their reverent Lord. The Vrajabhasis joyfully sported with Krishna, who is perceived as an ordinary human being by the materialistic sense enjoyers covered by the illusory potency of the Lord. The Gyanis have realized Krishna, but they cannot play with him. The Dashabhaktas, the Lord's surrendered servants, worship Krishna in reverence, but they are not qualified to play with Krishna. Karmis have no respect for Krishna, so they neither realize nor worship him. What to speak of playing with him? Although Krishna is made of complete bliss, he experienced intense ecstasy playing with the Vrajabhasis in various pastimes of love. They too attained the pinnacle of joy in his association. Therefore, the Vrajabhasis were more fortunate than all others. Of course, this is a material viewpoint. For the Nityasiddha Vrajabhasis, Krishna's eternal associates who far surpass the Gyanis and Dashabhaktas, the cause of the playing with Krishna is not material piety, punya. Here the word punya can only mean activities pleasing to Krishna by which Krishna comes under the devotee's control. It does not mean material piety or heaps of good deeds. Next text. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yama, niyama, asana, and pranayama, none of which are easily performed. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great good fortune of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face. Commentary. What to speak of playing with Krishna, even establishing a relationship with Krishna, is very rare. That is the intent of this verse. The yogis cannot attain even one particle of dust of Krishna's feet, nor can the yogis attain even one particle of reflected light from the trees of Vrindavan. Those who fully concentrate their minds cannot attain Krishna. Thus it was stated earlier that Krishna is sukalpa, not easily attained. Swayam Stita indicates that seeing Krishna does not depend even on the performance of sadhana. Oh, what great fortune, or what happy festival! Who can describe the good fortune or happiness of the Vrajavasis who constantly see Krishna? Such fortune is unobtainable by the yogis. Though they concentrate their minds for lifetimes, they cannot even attain a particle of dust at Krishna's feet. Next text. My dear King Parikshit, thereafter there appeared a great demon named Gausura, whose death was being awaited even by the demigods. The demigods drank nectar every day, but still they feared this great demon and awaited his death. This demon could not tolerate the transcendental pleasure being enjoyed in the forest by the coward boys. So commentary. Seeing that the boys were relishing ever-increasing bliss by playing, and they would not stop playing, and knowing they would not take time out to eat, and that the eating time had already passed, and seeing that it was already necessary to kill a demon, Krishna's Leela Shakti inspired the Agasura demon through the Supersoul and brought him near the boys. Agasura could not tolerate the fun the boys were having. The various sports they played filled the boys with pleasure, but the demon experienced only suffering. The demigods who drink the celestial nectar were afraid of being killed by the demon, so they eagerly awaited his death. Yad could also refer to playing, and anta can mean in the heart. And then the meaning would be, Agasura could not tolerate the gopis playing, which was meditated upon by the demigods, which alone gave them the desire to maintain their lives, although they already drank nectar. Agasura, who had been said by Kamsa, was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. Therefore, when he came and saw Krishna at the head of all the coward boys, he thought, this Krishna has killed my sister and brother Putana and Bakasura. Therefore, in order to please them both, I shall kill this Krishna along with his assistants and the other coward boys. Next text. Agasura thought, if somehow or other I can make Krishna and his associates serve as the last offering of sesame and water for the departed souls of my brother and sister, then the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, for whom these boys are the life and soul, will automatically die. If there is no life, there is no need for the body. Consequently, when the sons are dead, naturally all the inhabitants of Vraja will also die. So commentary. Observing all the coward boys headed by Krishna, Agasura said, the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura continued, considered. The second half of verse 14 and verse 15 are Agasura's thoughts. This person has killed my older sister Putana and my brother. On their behalf, therefore, I will kill Krishna as a pinda offering along with his followers. If Krishna and the other boys become the sacrificial offering to the pretas for my brother and sister, Nanda and the other inhabitants of Braj will automatically die. If life has left the body, need we worry any more about the bodies? Living entities live through their children. Therefore, if their beloved Krishna dies, then Nanda, Yashoda, and the rest of the Brajavasis will automatically die without our having killed them. Next text. After thus deciding, that crooked Agasura assumed the form of a huge python, as thick as a big mountain and as long as 8 miles. Having assumed this wonderful python's body, he spread his mouth like a big cave in the mountains and lay down on the road expecting to swallow Krishna and his associates, the coward boys. Commentary. Thinking in this way, Agasura laid on the path to devour Krishna and his friends. He was one yojana, 8 miles in length, and as thick as a huge mountain. His mouth spread open like a cave. Next text. His lower lip rested on the surface of the earth, and his upper lip was touching the clouds in the sky. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big cave in a mountain, and the middle of his mouth was as dark as possible. His tongue resembled a broad traffic way, and his breath was like a warm wind, and his eyes blazed with fire. Commentary. Agassura's lower lip rested on the earth, and his upper lip touched the clouds. The borders of his mouth resembled the sides of a big mountain cave. The interior of the mouth was as dark as night, and his tongue resembled the wide road. His breath was like burning fire, and his eyes blazed with fire. Next text. Upon seeing the demon's wonderful form, which resembled a great python, the boys thought that this must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Thereafter, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. So, commentary. A few boys thought that Agassura was a big snake, so they started to run away upon seeing it. Other boys, however, thought that Agassura was simply a wonderful scenic spot of Vrindavan. They comforted their fearful friends, saying, "Oh, fools, a snake can never be this big. It is just some statue fashioned by the Lord so that we can appreciate the splendor of Vrindavan even more." Krishna made it look like a huge snake with a big gaping mouth. In this way, the coward boys thought the Lord's creation was something like a gaping mouth of the serpent made for pastimes. Next text. The boy said, "Dear friends, is this creature dead, or is it actually a living python with its mouth spread wide just to swallow us? Kindly clear up this doubt." Commentary. Some boys called out to their elder friends to confirm their thoughts. "Is this some type of immovable living entity?" The word kuta means a peak, indicating some large animal. "Is it some resting tiger or some other big animal waiting to devour us with its open mouth?" Next text. Thereafter they decided, "Dear friends, this is certainly an animal sitting here to swallow us all. Its upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine, and its lower lip resembles the reddish shadows of a cloud." Commentary. Agreeing with them, one boy said, "Its upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine, and its lower lip appears like the reddish shadows of a cloud." Next text. On the left and right, the two depressions resembling mountain caves are the corners of its mouth and the high mountain peaks are its teeth. Commentary. Look here on the left and right, the two depressions resembling mountain caves are the corners of its mouth and pointing with its forefinger, the high mountain peaks are like the serpent's teeth. Next text. Its length and breadth, the animal's tongue resembles a broad traffic way and the inside of its mouth is very, very dark like a cave in the mountain. Next text. The hot, fiery wind is the breath coming out of his mouth, which is giving off the bad smell of burning flesh because of all the dead bodies he's eaten. Shoo. Next text. Then the boy said, "Has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he will immediately be killed like Bakasura without delay." Thus they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura, and laughing loudly and clapping their hands, they entered the mouth of the python. Commentary. Some of the boys spoke with a little fear. "If this creature is really a snake, he may swallow us if we enter his mouth." One boy replied to pacify them, "If that is so, then in an instant Krishna will kill him just as he vanquished Baka. Krishna is here, so why should we worry?" Saying this, the boy smiled and looked toward Krishna, who was standing some distance away. Getting this confirmation, all the coward boys began to laugh loudly while speaking, "Hey, Sakas, let's find out what's in the mouth." Then they entered the demon's mouth out of boyish curiosity. Clapping their hands to show their courage and fearlessness, or to dismiss the snake, the boys ran inside the snake's gaping mouth. The calves ran after them with their tails raised. Next text. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is situated as Antaryami, the super soul in the core of everyone's heart, heard the boys talking amongst themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Agassura, a demon who had appeared as a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associates to enter the demon's mouth. Commentary. Hearing the boys talk about the snake as if it were something unreal, Krishna began to think, what is actually a snake's mouth, my friends, think is some wonderful scenery of Vrindavan. This is not just a snake, but the demon named the Gasura. How did Krishna know this? Krishna knows everything because he is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul. Krishna then decided to prevent his boyfriends from entering the snake's mouth. Next text. In the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the coward boys entered the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relatives who had been killed by Krishna, and it was just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth. So, commentary. Just as Krishna was deciding to stop them, the boys entered the serpent's mouth, but the serpent did not swallow them. Why didn't he swallow them? The demon was remembering the death of his brother and sister at the hands of the Lord, so he was waiting for Krishna. One should not think that Krishna's potency that fulfills every desire was thwarted because Krishna could not stop the boys from entering the serpent's mouth, though he wanted to. On the other hand, Krishna's devotees had a desire to be saved by Krishna if by chance they were swallowed by the demon. Of the two desires, the desire of the devotee prevails according to the principle that the Lord is controlled by his devotee. This was perfectly arranged by Krishna's ever-watchful Leela Shakti, which harmonizes everything by removing all seeming contradictions. Next text. Krishna saw that the coward boys, who did not know anyone but him as their Lord, had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of a Gasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the coward boys. Therefore, as if seen, this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure what to do. Commentary. Seeing that the boys were helplessly beyond his control, the jewels slipping from one's hands, and that they were entering like straws into the fire of the snake's stomach, Krishna became filled with compassion. Krishna was astonished at the actions of his Leela Shakti, or of time, in making the coward boys enter the serpent's mouth. What was the cause of Krishna's astonishment? The Lord thought, it is not possible for these coward boys to have prarabdha karma. Besides, the super soul does not give them the tendency for karma because the super soul is my expansion and does not do anything unfavorable to me. Therefore, the Leela Shakti has made this seemingly unfavorable arrangement with a desire to put me, who is bound in prema, in a compassionate mood, karuna ras, on seeing this unfortunate situation. It astonishes me how she controls me, the very form of rasas and the king of all leelas. Though Krishna's sorrow due to the separation from his friends remained, it somewhat reduced with the rise of astonishment, vismaya bhav. This is the meaning here. Translation. Now what is to be done? How could both the killing of the demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Then he entered the mouth of a Gasura. Commentary. What should I do in this dangerous situation? How can I kill the demon without harming the boys? After thinking in this way and finding a solution, Krishna entered the mouth of the serpent. Krishna always knows best what to do in the present and in the future, and he takes away danger for his devotee and the life of the demon. Next text. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods hidden behind the clouds exclaimed, "Alas, alas! For the friends of Agasura, like Kamsa and the other demons, were jubilant." Commentary. When Krishna entered the mouth of the Gasura, the demigods hiding behind the clouds out of fear of Kamsa exclaimed, "Alas, alas!" Although the demigods were aware of the Lord's powers because they were also devotees, they shouted in an anxiety for Krishna's safety. The intrinsic nature of bhakti is affection. And the nature of affection is sometimes to lose one's power of discrimination. Kansa, his rakshasa friends, the word konlapa means eaters of corpses, and the sons and brothers of Agasura rejoiced on hearing the news from their spies. Next text. When the invincible supreme personality of Godhead Krishna heard the demigods crying, "Alas, alas," from behind the clouds, he immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat just to save himself and the coward boys, his associates, from the demon who wished to smash them. Commentary. Hearing the demigod's cries of dismay and the demon's rejoicing, Krishna immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat to save himself and the coward boys from being crushed in the Gausara's stomach. Krishna did this to reverse the sounds of lamentation from the demigods and the demon's shouts of joy. In the pastimes of killing Shakatasura, Trinavarta, and getting tied to the grinding mortar, Krishna remained as a small child and manifested his majestic powers. Therefore, in the throat of Agasura, Krishna expanded his form to show that he did not lack the power to expand himself in size. In the Damodara Leela and other pastimes, the Lord maintained his form as a child because his devotees could taste the full sweetness within that form. Although they experienced astonishment by witnessing Krishna's prowess, it did not disturb their conception of the Lord as their child. But here, in the absence of his parents who were relishing his sweetness, Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, adopted a more common method of just expanding himself to kill the demon. Next text. Then, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body to a very large size. Nonetheless, his breathing stopped, he suffocated, and his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out through a hole in the top of the demon's head. Commentary. The demon's throat was blocked up, his eyes popped out, and his life air, being trapped in the body with no outlet, finally burst through the Brahma Rundra, that is a hole in the top of the head, and he attained perfection. Next text. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and coward boys and brought them back to life. Then Mukunda, who can give one liberation, came out of the demon's mouth with his friends and calves. Commentary. The coward boys and calves who had fainted due to separation from Krishna and from the heat of the serpent's belly were brought back into consciousness by the nectar shower of Krishna's glance. Next text. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, this effulgence entered into Krishna's body. Commentary. Shridhar Swami says that the effulgence coming out of the python's body became purified and attained the status of Sura Shatva. The demons getting liberation is displayed here to instill faith in people. Through the light of the soul, like the great light of the Parabrahman is normally invisible, Krishna arranged that the individual effulgence of the soul was visible to everyone to directly show the world the Lord's quality of granting liberation even to a demon. This is Sanatana Goswami's opinion in Vaishnava Toshani. According to later verses 38 and 39, Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, a completely spiritual body exactly like that of Vishnu, and attained the Lord's abode. Therefore, the light which was visible was the light from Agasura's spiritual body, which he attained at that moment. Because his body was spiritual, it could not be seen with material eyes. Agasura's entering the Lord's body was just to show, as in the case of Shishupala and Dantavakra. Although Shishupala and Dantavakra attain Sarupya Mukti as eternal associates of the Lord, the former giant Vijay, when they died, a light from their bodies entered the Lord. This is another opinion about the visibility of the light. This happened in the presence of the demigods, who were greatly astonished with the use of the genitive absolute. It can also mean that Agasura's soul entered Krishna not caring for the demigods, even though they were present. Next text. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from Nandakana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas, who were famous for singing, offered songs of prayers. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both the heavens and on the earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Commentary. The demigods perform worship of Krishna, who creates himself. Sugal refers to the Gandharvas, who sing very beautifully. Vajadharas mean Vijadharas, the celestial drummers. Vipras means Brahmanas, like Vashishtha Muni and others. Ganaha means everyone else, like Garuda. Next text. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of Jaya Jaya, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. Commentary. Not one but an infinity of festivals was produced by the wonderful prayers, melodious instrumental music, soft celestial songs, and sounds of Jaya Jaya. Even in the higher planetary systems like Janaloka, Maharloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Krishna was going on. Brahma heard the singing. While the light of Agasura's soul was passing to Vaikuntha, Brahma, being astonished at Krishna's glories, came invisibly to Vrindavan. Orkan Main coming to Vrindavan and seeing Krishna's glory, Brahma was astonished. Next text. O King Parikshit, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up to merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained so for a very long time. Commentary. The dry skin of the snake stayed a long time in Vrindavan and became a wonderful cave in which the children used to sport and play. Next text. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Commentary. There was another astonishing event which you should hear about. Though Krishna saved his friends and liberated Agasura when he was 5 years old, the coward boys reported the incident when they were 6 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year as if the incident had taken place on that very day. Next text. Krishna is the cause of all causes. The causes and effects of the material world, both higher and lower, are all created by the Supreme Lord, the original controller. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, he did so by his causeless mercy. Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulence was not at all wonderful. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Agasura, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of his associates and achieving sarupya mukti, which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to attain. Commentary. Krishna's form as a human child is his swarupa, for the word maya is well known to mean swarupa in the Shrutis. Krishna is the cause of all causes by his own free will, and is the supreme form among all the expansions and expansions of expansions. Nothing is impossible for him. Therefore, it is not remarkable that Agasura was purified of all of his sins by touching Krishna, or Agasura was purified of his bad odor by Krishna's touch. This second meaning can be taken because Putana's body was also freed of bad odor by contacting Krishna. This must have happened because later Krishna and his friends used Agasura's dead body as a playground. Agasura also attained a body exactly resembling that of Narayana, which is very rare for a demon. Sayuja Mukti is rare for the demons, and Sarupya Mukti is rarer still, as this is generally reserved for the devotees. Next text. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. Commentary. This verse speaks of the cause of Agasura attaining Sarupya Mukti. This is not such an amazing accomplishment for Krishna, whose form should be meditated on by the mind, who is awarded the supreme destination to King Kapanga and others, who is directly an eternal body, whose direct perception brings the greatest happiness and destroys Maya, who is the avatari, and who entered the demon's stomach. However, in the case of King Katvanga and others, the cause of their attaining the Lord was devotion. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Bhaktyaham ikiyagrahaya. Only by devotion can I be attained. In Agasura's case, however, the absence of devotion did not act as a deterrent in attaining the Lord. Though devotion is indeed the general rule, it applies in other cases. When Krishna appeared as an avatar, Anyone can attain his transcendental abode simply by contact because of the extra surge of his perfect Kripa Shakti at that time. That is why it is said, one who approaches me in a mood of either lust, anger, fear, affection, oneness, friendship, or devotion will surely attain love for me. That is the nature. Do not think that this is astonishing for Krishna, the master of yoga. He gives liberation not only to humans, but also to non-moving living entities. Krishna's awarding liberation to his enemies is a remarkable quality in his completeness. Krishna reciprocates according to the mood of the person approaching him. From the statement that Agasura's body became the playground for the boys for many days, it should be understood that the demon's unfavorable attitude had been transformed into a favorable attitude. Agasura had attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, but he did not attain a form in Vrindavan because of his lack of Vrajabhakti. Next text. Sri Suta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Pariksit, after hearing about those pastimes of Krishna who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind and again inquired from Shukadev Goswami to hear about these pious activities. Commentary. Maharaj Pariksit, who was protected by Krishna, heard the wonderful pastimes of he who gives himself to his devotees. Pariksit fixed his mind on Krishna's pastimes and asked some more questions of Shukadev Goswami. Next text. Maharaj Pariksit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at present? Lord Sri Krishna performed this pastime of killing Agasura during his Kaumara age. How then, during his Pogonda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently? Commentary. Maharaj Pariksit inquired, how could things done in the past have been described as being done in the present? How could Krishna make the coward boys describe their pastimes, which happened when they were in the Kaumara age, 5 years, as if they happened recently? Next text. O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this happened. I am very much curious to know about it. I think it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna. Commentary. Maya here refers to the Lord's internal potency or Shakti, which expertly makes unexpected things happen. Because the verse calls the Lord's Maya, it cannot mean anything else except Yoga Maya. Only this potency of Krishna can put his eternal associates into illusion. Next text. O my Lord, my spiritual master, although we are the lowest of Kshatriyas, we are glorified and benefited because we have the opportunity of always hearing from you the nectar of the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So commentary. Maharaj Pariksit said, O my spiritual master, this statement implies I am your disciple because of the rule that the guru must teach the esoteric topics to the devoted student. Please tell me what should be told. Pariksit's devotion is indicated by his own efforts through the words, I drink the nectar. Next text. Suta Goswami said, O Shonaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami in this way, Shukadeva Goswami, immediately remembering the subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. Then, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perception and began to speak to Maharaj Pariksit about Krishna Katha. Commentary. Shukadeva regained external consciousness with great effort because of the loud chanting of the Lord's name by Narada, Vyasa, and others who were in attendance. The phrase, Bhagavata Uttama Uttama, greatest of all great saintly persons, refers to Shonaka. Thus ends the commentary of the 12th chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam for the pleasure of the devotees in accordance with the previous acharyas. Okay, so any questions? Yeah.
Was that a story in a previous life?
I have to consult. I have a list of Gausura. I don't remember right now. I can tell you later.
For which anartha he stands.
What?
For which anartha he stands.
I'll have to tell you later. I have to consult it.
It's not easy to remember.
What's that?
It's not easy to remember.
No, I don't remember them all. I have a whole list of them all.
A lot of demons.
Each of the demons represents an anartha.
So probably because of his past he went to Vaikuntha.
Yeah, usually they were cursed by someone in the past, some sage or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll look that up a little later. So any other questions? No? Okay. Oh, it's past 8 already. Okay, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada.